Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. So happy to have you back here joining me as we continue through Matthew 25. And it's just such an amazing passage. And we honestly, we haven't really dug into like the nitty gritty of exactly what Jesus is saying, but we've just been getting into even just the framework of what he's giving us, of how he's speaking. And he's saying, these are my intentions with you. And I just like, I feel like we just need to stop so often in our lives that every day in our lives, we just need to hear from the Lord. These are my intentions with you. My intention is to love you. My intention is to be with you forever. My intention is to come after you no matter what. My intention is to give up everything for you. My intention is to bring you home to my Father. My intention is for us to be at the marriage feast of the Lamb. My intention isn't just to make you better. My intention isn't to just pull you out of the world and throw you and be like, okay, now you're good enough to be in heaven. My intention isn't to just throw a blanket of righteousness over you and be like, there you go, like you're so bad, so you need this blanket of righteousness. All the things that we think, it's not Jesus's intention. And what he's setting up through this passage and saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a marriage feast. It's the bridegroom coming to get the bride. And the bridegroom, as we left off, has already gone. And we're waiting for him to come back. And he's saying, some of you will be wise and some of you will not. Some of you will have oil and some of you will not. But the context that we see is Jesus stating his intentions. He says, I want to be with you forever. And I'm going to do whatever it takes. And so please, please, let me help you be prepared. So Lord, help me be prepared because I want to be with you. I want to receive your intentions. I want to walk with you in that way. Amen. Amen. So we're going to get back into this passage where we left off. First, we're going to pray our Psalm 114, if you'll join me in prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. When Israel went forth from Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of strange language, Judah became his sanctuary, Israel his dominion. The sea looked and fled. Jordan turned back. The mountains skipped like rams, the hills like lambs. What ails you, O sea, that you flee? O Jordan, that you turn back? O mountains, that you skip like rams, O hills like lambs? Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, who turns the rock into a pool of water, the flint into a spring of water. Lord Jesus, in a good way, with that holy fear, we tremble in your presence. We tremble at your name. For you are God, and we are not. We ask for the grace as we review this parable, that you would show us. Show us where we're blind. Show us where we're unprepared. Show us where we do not have oil. Show us where we are not ready to meet you. And Lord, overall, give us a deep, deep desire to see you. To see you not as a friend, not as just our God, but as our bridegroom. As the one who loves us, who's paid the price, who's gone to prepare a place for us, and who will return to get us. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Matthew 25. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be compared to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 of them were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. But at midnight there was a cry. Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all those maidens rose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "Perhaps there will not be enough for us and for you. Go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other maidens came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." So where we picked up is here we have these 10 virgins. And so the 10 virgins, remember, in our Jewish wedding context, they're waiting for the groom to return. They're waiting for the groom to come back. The groom has gone to prepare a place for the bride, and they're waiting. And when the groom returns, they'll light their lamps so that they can process through the night in the marriage feast. And so the lamps, the lighting of the lamps, which they need the oil for, gives the signal as they walk through, as they process through the streets, this is a marriage feast. I'm going to the marriage feast of the Lamb. It shows, it's shining. I am with my groom. I'm taken. I'm going to my marriage feast. So this is where we leave off. You have 5 wise and 5 foolish. And this is where this hits us to say, remember, the Lord is speaking to us. He's speaking to those in the church, and he's saying, some of you will be, although you all know me, you are all waiting for me. You're waiting for me. You want me, but some of you will be wise and some of you will be foolish. And the distinction between the wise and the foolish will be how you are prepared with your oil. Because I find it really interesting. It says 5 of them are foolish, 5 of them are wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. So here's the biggest distinguisher. The key distinguisher between the wise and the foolish is not knowing Jesus. It's not waiting for him. It's not being one of the 10 virgins. It's not even having a lamp. The distinction is the oil. 5 had enough and 5 did not. And it's so convicting because it says the 5 foolish, they had their lamp with them. They were prepared to some capacity. They had their lamp with them. They thought that they were going to be ready, but they didn't have their oil. And it says they all were asleep. All 10 were asleep. And when they heard the voice of the bridegroom, they trimmed their wicks, and some had enough oil and some did not. So what is this oil? What is this oil? If we look at, this is so convicting to me. If we look at the larger scheme of what's happening here, is the bridegroom returns and the best man says, the bridegroom is here. So St. John the Baptist, right? He says, the bridegroom is coming. The bridegroom is coming. And the groom returns. And what's happening with the 10 is they're all trying to light their lamps. And some have enough oil and some do not. And the oil is what allows the fire to catch. So that there's actual fire in the lamp so that when you process into the streets, it's saying, look, my lamp shows that I belong to the bridegroom. Not just that I'm a follower. Not just that I know the bridegroom in some capacity, but I belong to the bridegroom. It's almost like wearing a white dress, right? When you're at a wedding, the bride and the bridesmaids, they wear different things. The bridesmaids wear a particular color and the bride wears white and she's signaling to everyone, I belong to this groom. And she doesn't just belong to him because she puts on the white dress. She belongs to him because of the relationship that they've developed. They belong to each other because of the intimacy that they shared. And there's a way that Jesus is saying the oil is the intimacy of our relationship. The oil is spending time with me, is being with me in the secret place. It's not just these practices. It's not just saying, well, I did my rosary, or well, I'm checking off all the boxes. There's so much that we do to prepare, friends, that becomes checking off the boxes. And Jesus is saying, I'm not looking. Would you be looking for a spouse that's checking the boxes?
Well, I think it's good to get down on one knee. I think it's good to say yes to the marriage proposal because I just, you know what? I think this is what's best for us. I think it's what's best. I don't feel anything. I'm not excited about our wedding, but I think this is what's best. So I'm just kind of making that decision. What groom would be like, yes, oh my gosh, like you're the person I want to marry then? No. You know, there was a season here in our office where there was a number of women who were engaged. And as we were talking about it, you know, they're so excited. And so often we would be talking about something else and we would just find then ourselves talking about their wedding plans, their wedding flowers, their dresses, what that was going to look like. Because there's a thing when a bride is getting married, she's developed that intimacy and she has this excitement of saying, I'm going to my wedding. My wedding is coming up. How many days? Count down the days to my wedding. And there's a reality, friends, in the church. As we're quote unquote preparing, as we're quote unquote doing all this stuff, we've just settled in to life and we've just settled into our waiting and we don't have the oil of intimacy. We're just checking the boxes saying, look, I'm doing the Catholic thing. I'm reading my Bible. I'm doing all of this out of a sense of duty. And Jesus, the groom, he's looking down and he's saying, I want my bride to want me. I want my bride to marry me. I do not want to come back to a bride who is willing to spend her time with other lovers while I'm gone. And what happens so often, friends, is we give our oil, our intimacy, our relationship, our security, our attachment, our love away to other things because we're sick of waiting. And so the church, as a body, we prostitute ourselves out in this way. You're like, that's strong imagery. No, but it's true. We say, I'm not feeling secure. Jesus, you're not giving me what I want. You're not giving me my vocation. You're not taking me out of this suffering, whatever it is. So I'm just going to do the minimal, but my heart is going to be in the world. I'm going to go off and I'm going to let myself settle in that relationship. I'm going to let myself listen to that music that's inappropriate. I'm going to let myself get caught up in those shows. I'm going to let myself be overly invested in Taylor Swift getting engaged and these worldly things that tickle my heart. And it's a way, friends, of giving our oil away. And so by the time he comes back, he's saying, what about that thing that you were saving for me? You lit your lamp. You belonged to other things. And your oil ran out and now you don't have enough. And it's not being like, yeah, you don't have enough and you can't get it from me. But it would be so weird, like another person can't come into a marriage. Like if my friend is getting married, I can't be like, oh, just share your love for your husband with me. No, that's the oil. It has to be developed through our own secret time with the Lord, through giving him everything, through surrender, through saying, Lord, take everything. I want to give you my heart. You deserve it all. Purify me so that I'm not running to idols. I'm not running to other lovers. And he's saying the five foolish virgins, it's not that they didn't have a lamp. It's not that they didn't want me. It's not that they didn't love me to a certain extent, but they gave away their oil. They left it and they didn't have enough intimacy to light the flame that would say, I'm going to the wedding. I belong to the groom. So Lord, we pray that you would give us the strength to not give our oil away. Amen.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.